The last show, we talked about stress and its impact on us. And throughout the month, we've gone through various components of mental health. But one still remains. Biology. Sometimes your mental health fails or begins to deteriorate, and there is actually a biological component causing it. During this show, we're going to be talking about what that could be and if there is anything that we can do about it.
From the screen is back, presenting these facts with a little love being laid on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And I,
welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get through any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through a shift in education, culture, and economics. You can check them out at www.paxinc.org. Drop a donation. Volunteer, take a survey, spread the word, do whatever you can to help them because they're doing whatever they can to help you. And as I said in the intro, on this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be talking about the biological component of mental health. So we all understand the basics, right? Your brain is the center of your psyche, and usually if there's a problem with you mentally, it can be found there. But your brain is more than just an organ of neurons and connective tissues. And this is where we begin to take a look at neurotransmitters and hormones. See, some mental illnesses that have been linked to the abnormal functioning of nerve cell circuits or pathways that connect particular brain regions have more to do with the way that these pathways communicate. See, nerve cells within these brain circuits communicate through chemicals called neurotransmitters. And through the tweaking or the maneuvering of these chemicals through medications and various other means, we can help our brain circuits to run more effectively, more efficiently, and alleviate some of the symptoms of the problem. However, and even though, insofar as and hitherto, they're so far moving forth, it's not always that cookie cutter. And in a lot of cases, these are problems that we were born with. These are problems that have developed because of some sort of other chemical or hormone that's entered our body and created some sort of biological change. So understanding the root cause of what causes the software to mess up within the hardware of our bodies, we have to dig into some specific areas and talk about some specific topics. Namely, we're going to be hitting on genetics, infections, brain defects or injury, prenatal damage, substance abuse, and a few other factors during this show. Now, I am using the WebMD, WebMD.com website for this discussion, for putting it together. And that's simply because I like the way they have the things sectioned off. But the information is coming from all over the place. But the structure of it is coming from WebMD. So if you go to the WebMD mental health causes section, you'll see the structure that I'm talking about. And this show is largely laid out to that. So I do want to give them credit for what they've done. So we move on. We move into genetics. So it has genetics or heredity. Mixed in, mental illnesses sometimes run in families. And that's true. And that's suggesting that people who have a family member with a mental illness might be somewhat more likely to develop one themselves. Susceptibility is passed in families through genes. Now, in the vast majority of cases, susceptibility is not passed on through genes, but it's passed on through epigenetics. These are the markers that tell your genes whether or not to express and how much to express. So, experts believe that many illnesses are linked to abnormalities in many genes rather than just a few, and how these genes interact with the environment is unique for every person, including identical twins. And that's where we get back to the epigenetic discussion, because identical twins are genetically identical. Their genetic code is exactly the same, but the genes get expressed differently through epigenetics, and it is the epigenetic changes that respond to our environment and the things that we go through and the situations that we find ourselves in. So again, it's not so much genes, although there are some things that could be caused by genes, such as if during a gene transcription process where your genes are being copied, or your genes are being, you know, there's a copy of your genetic code being made to produce a particular protein that your body says that it needs at a specific time. If that is copied wrong, or if there is a micro deletion or some sort of error in the maintenance or the repair functions in your body, that can cause various different protein damages when they're created, which can result and you having some sort of defect. You know what? That's real complicated. Picture it this way, right? So you have data on a computer in the form of a picture, right? And we all know computers use the language ones and zeros to make up all of the data that we're looking at. So say you go to copy a picture, and the program that you use to copy the picture, and even if that program is Windows, you're using a program to copy that picture. Say that program damages the picture. Now you have a damaged original copy of the picture done by the program that was meant to copy the picture. Okay, so then you have a restoration program that's going to go back in and repair that damage. Say that restoration program goes in and it deletes the damaged part, but it can't repair the damaged part. So the part is deleted so that there won't be any errors, any further errors, quote unquote mutations, when interacting with that particular photo. But the quality of the photo has been degraded, has been depreciated because of what just happened. Genetics, we're talking about the exact same thing. So in this case, if there is a epigenetic mutation that occurs in your family, a genetic mutation in the way a gene is expressed, then if you are a brother or sister or a parent of that person who has expressed this particular issue, then chances are you're in line for that to happen again. Now, if it's an auntie or uncle or something like that, not necessarily, but if it's a direct straight up and down line, then that is something that you're at risk of having or passing on to other people in your line. And there are many different genes and genetic expressions and things that can cause these things to manifest themselves, such as we go back to stress, because stress has a biological component to it. Abuse or traumatic events do affect your body, your genes, through epigenetics. So that could trigger some things. So there are a bunch of different things we get into when we begin to talk about the genetic component of mental illness. But there is, in fact, a genetic component of mental illness. And because in a large number of cases, it is an epigenetic situation, that means that you can do various different things to reduce the likelihood that you have these issues if you're in a family that has these issues. And one of those things are the same stress-related tactics that we talked about last week in terms of taking care of your mental health, but you also have to begin to take care of your diet and take care of a lot of other things with regards to your biology and your physical well-being. Now, next up, we have infections. Now, certain infections have been linked to brain damage and the development of mental illness or the worsening of its symptoms. You know, for example, we could talk about a condition known as pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder. And that's associated with streptococcus bacteria, which is strep throat, and it has been linked to the development of OCD and other mental illnesses in children. And there have been quite a few cases of children in particular getting an illness while they're sick and then developing mental disorders or mental defects or mental issues after overcoming those issues. It's particularly bad when those illnesses get to be extremely bad, or when they get into a place where they have to be hospitalized for a long duration of time. You can really begin to see instances where those situations will cause mental disorders to express themselves. And there are a multitude of causes for that. There could be caused by an epigenetic change, as we talked about earlier. There could be caused by a genetic defect in the genetic maintenance and repair equipment that we talked about earlier as well. There could be looking at various different proteins and how their production and how they are maintained in the body has been changed because of a damage done by a particular infection or a particular illness. So there are multiple causes for this as well. And this is one of those things where it becomes kind of luck of the draw. You get sick and you do the best you can to take care of yourself while you're sick. But in some situations, in some cases, there's not much you can do. You get sick and you get over it, but then you have these lingering effects. And science is getting better. Biology is getting better. The way we understand the body and the way we can treat the body, the tools we have at our disposal, they're getting better. But there are certain things that are still beyond us right now. And mental disorders are mental issues caused by certain types of infections and certain situations fall within that realm. So then we have brain defects or injury. Now, obviously your brain is the software center of your body. If your body is a computer, your brain is Windows. It's hard for you to interface with all of the various components of your body without your brain. And obviously any damage to your brain is going to have a potentially devastating impact on how you function. And we see this even in stroke patients, where if there's damage to the right part of the hemisphere, you'll have a person with a personality that'll shift to be this particular way. And if there's damage to the left part of the hemisphere, you'll have a person whose personality is damaged, and you'll see a shift in them going the other way. Now, I'm not going to sit here and make any generalized statements, because obviously, it's different for every person. But your right brain is mostly creativity and things of that nature, insight, intuition, and your left brain is mostly logic and reasoning. So you can make whatever inferences you will from there. But brain defects and injuries is quite obvious, and that's the big deal we're seeing with CTE right now, professional sports, especially with football and various other high impact, highly violent sports, where these guys who have been doing this in a lot of cases since they're 7 to 8 years old. They've been ramming their head at top speed into basically brick walls. They do have personality issues. They do have mental disorders that are going undiagnosed because of various different issues, because people don't want to see them, people don't want to pay attention to them, people don't want to feel sorry for the athletes getting paid millions of dollars. Various issues at work here, but brain defects and injuries is definitely a cause of mental health issues, and we're seeing that more and more in professional sports, and we're seeing that more and more in our daily lives in general. So then we have prenatal damage, and there is some evidence that suggests that disruption of early fetal brain development or trauma that occurs at the time of birth may affect the development of certain conditions. And this is one of those things where it's kind of like, duh, because while the baby's developing inside of the womb, all of its organs are developing as well. And if there is anything that's thrown off during that developmental period, obviously a child will be born with potentially mental issues, especially if those issues arrive, or those problems during the child's development center around brain development. Now, the brain is one of the last organs in the body to develop during fetal development. So you're particularly concerned about developmental issues that occur late in the pregnancy. And even in terms of things, trauma and various other events that happen at the time of birth, such as loss of oxygen, maybe the umbilical cord gets wrapped around the baby's neck and begins to strangle the baby. During those key moments, the baby's body being starved of oxygen, being starved of nutrients, particularly the brain, because when a child is born, his brain is not fully developed. His brain is still going to continue to develop for months and years after the baby is born. But in those instances, even a small amount of disruption in the flow of nutrients to the brain can have a dramatic impact on the development of that organ and on the personality and the mental health of the child being born. So that's another reason why we have to take care of ourselves during pregnancy, during that whole situation. We got to make sure that everything's cool, everybody's taking care of themselves, the baby's good, the mother's good, and everybody's happy. Because on another instance, when it gets to prenatal damage, we're also talking about, we go back again to epigenetics. The baby is responding to the various stressors that are happening to the mother during its developmental period. It is, in a sense, absorbing the world through the senses of the mother, through the biochemical, the hormones that the mother has flowing through her body. Those hormones, in some way, directly or indirectly, interact with the baby's body. So it becomes necessary in that sense as well to take even more care when you're dealing with a pregnant woman, because you don't want to create a situation where any undue stress she's under has a negative impact on the child that she will eventually birth. Now, when we start talking about substance abuse, particularly long-term substance abuse, we're talking about the long-term use of drugs and its impact on our mental health. Now, the way drugs largely affect us is in a very biochemical way, a very biomechanical way. They interrupt our normal hormonal functional processes within our brain. Particularly, we're talking about the reward center, the VTA, the various areas in our brain stem, and the various areas in our prefrontal lobe, although they can be having effects all over the brain, but they do typically disrupt the normal balance of hormones within our body, which is why when people do take uppers, for instance, for an extended period of time, they can no longer be, they have difficulty being happy or up or alert without being on that drug. When they're not on that drug, they almost appear like they're depressed, in a severe state of clinical depression. And that's because the way their body balances and manufactures, maintains its balance of dopamine has been severely shifted by the drug that they've been taking, and their body has adjusted itself to account for this chemical being in their body that's going to create this state of being. So in a sense, it normalizes the impact of the drug so that you can function while being on the drug. And that's why you essentially need more and more of the drug to get the same high that you used to get. Our bodies are amazingly adaptive machines, amazingly adaptive. And if you introduce something to the body, even one time, your body begins to make subtle changes in the way it handles itself to accommodate any future occurrence of that substance that you introduced at that same rate. So when you start talking about doing drugs, and this is for especially for people that say weed don't affect you. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Anything that alters your state of mind has a long-term effect on you, because your body begins to make adjustments to the way it balances itself to account for this new hormone, this new chemical that you've introduced to it. And so it is possible to develop, while you might not overdose, you might not, you know, go psychotic, it is definitely possible to develop mental issues from the long-term use of any substance of any kind. And last but not least, I want to talk about nutrition and exposure to toxins such as lead. Flint, flint, hint, hint. Now, your body gets the materials that it needs to produce the hormones that keep you balanced, sane, and functional from the things that you eat. But your skin is also a living organ, and it's also porous. So environmental chemicals in the environment can also get into your system through your skin. Now, these things, as I talked about earlier with substance abuse, your body makes adjustments in the way it handles itself based on all new information, all new substances that get inside of it. So in that sense, anything that you introduce to your body through your nutrition or through your environment is going to have an impact on your mental health. That's why it's important to make sure that you're eating healthy, balanced meals. That's why it's important that you're making sure that you're in an environment that doesn't contain any toxins. And that's why it's important for us as Black people to understand the severity of the situation when we find ourselves in environments that are loaded with toxins. And I'm talking about the water issues that we're having all over the country, not just in Flint, because there are cities in Louisiana and various other places of the South that are worse than they are in Flint. There are cities in various places all over this country where Black people are dealing with asbestos and various other harmful toxic chemicals that find themselves in the land that we live on, that we lay on, that we play in, that we grow our food in, the pesticides, all of that stuff. We need our own independent body doing research on the impact that these things have on us, because we now know that on a fundamental level, our biological processes are different than those of white people. But that's kind of beyond the point. Well, it's not really, but it's outside the realm of mental health and what I'm trying to talk about. It just got off on a tangent, even though it's relative and it's relatable. But in any case, we need to start taking these things seriously, especially with regard to our food, our nutrition, our water, our land, and our environments. And with that, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen is back, presenting these facts with a little love, pina laid on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And I...
Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PAX Inc. through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Be sure to head to one of those places and leave us a review, and then be sure to head back to the website to let us know what you think about the show and communicate with us. Also, be sure to head to www.paxinc.org and show some love and support for our sponsors. PAX Inc. is doing big things in the community and trying to do more, always trying to do more. So be sure to head to the website. That's www.paxinc.org. Donate, volunteer, become a member, talk about it, whatever. They can use your support. And once again, they are doing great things in the community. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. The things that we look at, whether it be on the Trending Tuesday or the regular Lessons from the Screen show, will always be looked at from the Black perspective. So keep that in mind, because we need more minds shaped into that perspective and trying to do things that we need done for ourselves. So with that in mind, again, thank you guys for listening in. Remember to tune in to the Freedom Train Radio. We have the app that's available that you can get from the website. It's in the Google Play Store. Sorry, it's not available on iTunes yet. We have the Live Internet Radio, and we have more shows coming up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you guys for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.